Acts chapter 23. We're going to look at the old Apostle Paul here and verse number 11. And the Apostle Paul was in a very tough situation. And I remember one time in Paul and Silas, remember they got arrested for preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 16. And they got whipped. They beat their backs and they cut their backs wide open. And then they put him in stocks and put him back in there in jail. And do you know what happened at midnight? Oh, Paul, he grabbed hold of Silas's throat and said, "You're the reason we're in this place. It was your idea to have a revival over here." And Paul looked at him, hit him in the side of the head and said, "Now you're the one that said we ought to come over here and try to have a revival meeting. And now you got us messed up and we've got our backs whipped up and we're in stocks and we're in jail right now." That ain't the Bible, is it? What'd the Bible say they did at midnight? I mean, cocked up, coagulating blood running down their backs. Their feet and hands in stock. They sang praises unto God at midnight. And I'll tell you what God did. Now you listen to me. There's power in being of good cheer. And the reason Satan wants to keep you depressed and down and defeated all the time so he don't have no power in your life. Amen. And he wants to take the joy out of your soul and the power out of your life. I'll tell you right now, you go down there to camp and every counselor is going, "Shut up, fell out, shut up." Sit down, Ben's going, "That's the way. Tell them how it is. Tell them how wonderful the Christian life is. They'll all want to be saved before we get done this week." It don't work that way. Amen. I guarantee you know what he wants them counselors to do? You meet them kids with a smile. You get down on their level and shake their hands and put your arm around and say, "We're so glad to have you here this week. We're so happy you're here." And some cheering. There's going to be 100, 300, 400 kids go down there and they're going to come out of homes that need some cheer. And you may leave one mark upon their life, but leave some good cheer upon them. I'll tell you, I'm a sinner. I'm a wicked. I've already repented, asked God to forgive me and help me. I'm not good at being in good cheer. But I know it's the truth. But can I at 65 years of age repent and say, "Dear God in heaven, quit making me be an Israelite murmurer"? We're just like the children of Israel. There's up there against the Red Sea. "Ah, Moses, you got us here." God parsed away. "Glory to God on the other side. They're of good cheer." Next day, "Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the food? Where's the water? Well, you got us over here. Oh, I wish we were back." I mean, we go up and down. We're malaria Christians. We have a children of fever. And the only time we're in good cheer is we got extra money in the bank. And everybody's good and healthy. No problems in life. But that's not what cheer is about. I found out that cheer is explicitly for people who are going through trouble. And that's its power. When you and I can be of good cheer in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation and problems with life. Now, in Acts chapter 23, if you check back into chapter 22, in verse 25, it says, they bound him with thongs. Now, they had arrested Paul, and then what they did, they took thongs, they took these cords, and they bound him with them. So here he is, he's bound, he's arrested for preaching the gospel. Then you come down to chapter 23, and he says something up there, and he gives his testimony. In verse number 2, now watch this, he's bound, he's standing before the high priest, and they say, "Smite him." And they popped Paul in the mouth. Read your Bible. That's what it says. And I mean, he's heading for trouble. He's arrested, bound, hit in the mouth. And I mean, and they're fixing to put big charge against him, make his life an absolute mess. Look at verse 11. Look at your Bible, verse 23, verse 11. That night and the night following. This is what we need, folks, right here. The Lord stood by him and said, "Oh, Paul, I know what you're going through. It's just a bad time, Paul, you poor little old thing. You had a flat tire yesterday. I know life's rough. I'll tell you, Karen and I have had a terrible week. We get in our pickup that's got gas and runs on its own. All I have to do is sit in there on the seat and drive it. And we got going down the highway and boom! And our lawnmower trailer with our little zero-turn mower. Have to get on that thing and start it, and you have to work your handles. It's pitiful. I'm going to start me a weight loss program. In fact, I'm going to start me a pyramid scheme. I'm going to buy these old push lawnmowers and sell them for weight loss deals, and you can sell them and everything. They don't really lose weight. They ain't pushing lawnmowers yet." Amen. Anyway, Reggie, don't go there. And we had a blowout. Can you believe to go through such tribulation, persecution, terrible things? And it was hot. Had to get out of the air conditioning. I tell you, life is rough, Kenny. So I got in a foul mood. God, is this how you're going to treat me? After all I've done for you, you're going to have a blowout on my trailer? Really? That's what America is now. That is the stinking truth about America. A little bit goes wrong. We think we're in bad shape, you know. And I thought it was, actually, it got to be where it's funny. We went and borrowed a trailer off my boys. We get down to the place and get a mowing, come back up, get on the pull away. Boom, it goes out. Two in one day. We had a 4th of July. This is on 4th of July. The guy said, what are you doing 4th? I said, I'm working. He says, you're crazy. But anyway, on the 4th of July, I had two blowouts. So we had a 4th of July blowout, two trailer blowouts. Don't borrow anybody's stuff. You buy tires for it and all that kind of stuff. That's $70 for a new tire on a stupid little trailer. You know, life is terrible. How can I be of good cheer on the 4th of July? How can I be of good cheer after a horrible week like I've had? And I'm going to tell you, I know I'm being a little facetious today, but I want to tell you something God has dealt with me about. He said, Reggie, I want to tell you, I'm getting sick and tired of your murmuring. I'm sick and tired of your quining. I'm sick and tired of your complaining. I'm sick and tired of you acting like you got life tough. I'm telling you, you don't know anything about it. And why don't you, you're saved, why don't you have some cheerfulness about you? Amen. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to preach today. Now I'm going to give you this thing. God told him, he said, Paul, be of good cheer. God didn't put us around. I know God's compassionate and God is merciful. But you know what, Paul? He said, Paul, be of good cheer. I got some purpose in what's going on in your life about this. And you have reason to be of good cheer. And that's what God wants us to see today. Now there's three or four things I want to pop out to you here. Doesn't it just irritate you to hear that anyone say, be of good cheer, much less God say it to you? I mean, really, and honestly, people almost get aggravated. Cheer, and I want you to think about it. Here, I looked up what cheer means. It means to call out with shouts of joy. Now, you say, well, you know, that's why at ball games, they call them folks cheerleaders, right? They're hollering and hooping and trying to get you to go along with it, but that's not what we're talking about here. That's not really biblical cheer. But it does mean to call out with shouts of joy. Your old-timers used to shout. Now, I know a lot of you, you're too proud to shout. You wouldn't shout if Jesus Christ came down today and preached and showed you the blood on his and the silence. You wouldn't shout. You'd sit back there and go, okay. I want to tell you something. What's missing in our churches, the reason the devil's getting so many people in these crazy, stupid, worldly churches is because we got no shouting. We got no cheer in our soul. I'll tell you, I wouldn't go to a church where there wasn't a little bit of cheer once in a while. Amen? I mean, didn't you enjoy the instruments this morning, the people up there singing? I like to have a shouting spell. Mrs. Lawson was up there singing. I like to have a spell. Amen? You're supposed to have a spell, too. And you, why you're not having a spell? Because you wasn't up there. She was. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Hey, I want to ask you something. Are you going to influence people to Jesus Christ with cheer or with a frown? Are you going to influence people to Christ with happiness in your soul and gladness? Or everything's down and bad and trying to get... You know what most of the time we want people to pay attention to is we're sissies and babies and feel sorry for ourselves. So we want everybody to get attention. But what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What will you do? That's our American way now. But anyway... It means to dispel gloom. What it means is maybe somebody next to you is having a tough day. Yeah. By the way, now you listen to me. Being cheerful does not mean you don't get depressed. Don't mean you have defeated sometimes. You don't get down. Your spirits are low. You're discouraged. It has nothing to do with that. What God says, I want people in my flock. I want people in my realm of the church. I want some people having cheer for those who are down. Because the person with cheer is to lift up someone else who is in gloom, who is in sadness, who is in discouragement. It means to gladden someone else's heart. It's not talking about having a cheerleading session like you're thinking of. It's talking about having such a spirit in you that when you're not only for your own personal life, but for the lives of the people around you. Let me tell you something. Children do not need to be raised in a home where father is discouraged all the time, where mama is down all the time. They need to be raised in a home where there's some good cheer at that place. Amen. I want to tell you something. You say, well, we wasn't able to go to Silver Dollar City this year. We didn't have enough money. Why don't you take your kids down to the creek? It's free. Why don't you go have a little softball game with your kids out in your backyard? It's free. Why don't you show your children some cheer? And we need to show each other cheer when they're going down. It means this, too, to infuse life and animation into other people. It means to live in a state of gladness and joy. And to live in this fallen world of sin and sorrow and death and disease and disappointment and the curse. I am telling you something. If you watch the news, I understand why you can't have good cheer. I understand. Listen, I watch this garbage every day, too. I see the queers and the sodomites and the trash and the abortionists and the Democrat Party and the socialists. And I see the Bernies and all the rest of them. And they make me sick and they discourage me. And I say, God save America. But I'm not letting those people take the joy of my soul away from me. I'm not letting them take the promises of God's word. That's why I'm excited about the millennial reign. That's why I'm excited about the coming of Christ. That's why I'm excited to know Christ. There's a reason to be of good cheer. The world has its attempts to make us have cheer, bottle or a beer can or a joint or a jug, music or mirth, pleasures and entertainment. But biblical, godly, true cheer is not goofiness. It's not laughing at a dirty joke. It's not temporary prosperity. It's not silliness or rioting party. Cheer is connected to hope. Cheer is connected to faith. Cheer is connected to love. Cheer is connected to trust and faith and dependence upon God and believing God against all odds. Cheerfulness is connected to truth, God's presence, God's promises, God's power in our lives. Cheerfulness is specifically called upon in the Bible, in the face of adversity and storms, in trials and in temptation and pressure and fiery darts. Those whom you're around who everything's going good for, they don't have a problem maybe. Those who are going through trials and troubles need to find somebody of good cheer. If you've ever been in a hospital room, and I tell you things are not looking good, and a nurse comes in with cheerfulness, that's a blessing. Or maybe a friend comes in and they've got cheerfulness in their soul, that's a blessing. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. My heart is burdened that I would have more good cheer. And that others in this church, I want this church to be a church. You know what I think? If I was a young preacher starting a new church, I'd call it the First Church of the Good Cheer. Amen. Listen, but hey, folks, listen, they're passing out pills like nobody's business to get us out of our depression, get us out of our junk and stuff. And we're going everywhere and doing all this to have good cheer. And the Holy Ghost of God is the one that can give you cheer. And I'm telling you, God put cheer for the times of your troubles of your life and the problems of your life. Cheerfulness is connected. It's the times of storms and trials and temptations and pressure and fiery darts. Cheerfulness is connected to courage. If you study anything about cheerfulness historically, you find out that the men, especially armed forces kind of people, they understood that they needed courage in the face of danger and adversity. And cheerfulness and fear spreads. God even deals with this about the men who drank from their hand and the men who lapped with the water. He wanted rid of those people who were spreading fear and discouragement among the troops. And then cheerfulness is a fear killer. Write that in your Bible. Cheerfulness is a fear killer. I want to tell you something. People of good cheer don't fear much. Amen. They only fear God because they know God's in control and God's all powerful. In Acts 27, Paul was in a storm. There were many days in verse 20. And it said, for many days they saw neither the sun nor the stars appeared. And the Bible said all hope was taken away that they'd be saved. In verse 21, Paul had been with God. Now here's the key to cheerfulness. Paul had been with God. And he said, be of good cheer. Why, Paul? Paul, how can you be of good cheer? We're in a ship. We're in a storm. We're in a shipwreck. There's no hope. We haven't seen the sun. We haven't seen the stars. Everybody's discouraged. Paul, how can you tell me to be of good cheer in the midst of my trials? I've been with the Lord. You want to get a good cheer? Take a day off. Ask your boss, I want a day off. I want to spend it with the Lord. And don't lie to him. And you take your Bible and you get with God for a day. And you say, God, I come for some cheer. I come for some encouragement. I come for some truth. I come, Lord, for some stock to hold me in the midst of this wicked world. God, Paul had been with God. And God, he said, in the child of God, the Lord stands by him. In verse 25, he said three times, and by the way, that's where the British get their three cheers, is out of Acts 27. He said in verse 25, be of good cheer. Why, Paul? You know what he said? Because I believe God. You want to have cheerfulness? Believe God about this world. In verse 36, one man's cheerfulness affected all the rest of them. And you know what the Bible finally says? They were all of good cheer. Did you know cheerfulness spreads itself throughout people? Get around, you say, Reggie, what are you talking about? Get around God's people. Get around God's man. Get around those who are seeking the Lord and walking with God and believing God. Hey, this morning, how many here knows life is tough? I mean, figure that out. Life's tough. But faith is tougher. Faith is tougher. Our founders and our patriots all face storms of adversity. Their name, their honor, their sacred trust, all of it, they laid it on the line. But they were of good cheer. I always loved General McAuliffe over there and around Bastogne. And the German army had him surrounded, and they sent some guys in there, you know, under white flags, and it demanding and saying, listen, you surrender or we're going to slaughter the whole deal. How many knows what General McAuliffe sent back to him? Nuts. I'm going to tell you something. You need leaders that will not fold in the face of adversity, but will be of good cheer. Now, you know why General McAuliffe could say nuts to a German army that was surrounding him? But because he knew who was back across the water was the United States of America, and he knew that someday they would come. And if he would just be of good cheer, and they put up a Christmas tree. Study your history. McAuliffe didn't go around saying, boys, it's over. We're surrounded. There's just no way out. The clouds are all. The planes can't come. We just well fold up and go get in a German prison of war camp. But because that man had cheer, you know what he said? Nuts, bring me a Christmas tree. We're going to celebrate Christmas here. Another guy said, but General, we're surrounded. He said, that's wonderful. That means you can hit the enemy any way you shoot. Amen. It's all how you're looking at, your attitude toward life, amen. But you got to have faith in God that he'll take you through, amen. Why can we be of good cheer with all the craziness and the sin, the stupidity and the wickedness and the reprobate and the crazies that's in this country? The problems and puzzles of life. Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 quickly, and then we're going to run and get this thing done and be of good cheer and run up the swimming hole. All righty. Matthew chapter 9. If you don't get to it real quick, just act like you did. Amen. Flip your Bible open and just look like you're reading. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. And he, talking about Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son. Now this is one of three times Jesus says to be of good cheer. He commands us in the Bible. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Number one this morning, the reason you ought to be of good cheer and get out of your depression and get out of your pit and get out of your rut, if your sins are forgiven. Now, if your sins are not forgiven, you've not been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then I would be depressed too. But if you know what? If your sins are forgiven, you ought to have some good cheer in your life. Amen? Hey, you're not going to hell. Amen. Does that mean anything to Americans anymore? That you're not going to hell if you're saved, you're born again of the Spirit of God. You ought to be. I am so sick of Christian people who say that God has redeemed them. No joy, no gladness, no cheer, no nothing. They're gloom, they're down all the time. It makes me sick. I believe God makes him sick. I'm telling you, maybe your sins are not forgiven. Maybe you're just a play churcher. Maybe you know all the stuff to say and how to act. Maybe, I'm just asking this morning. Listen, he said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, I'm going to blow the hole through your socks right now. The Bible said in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham, he's discussing this salvation by grace through faith, okay? And he said, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Now, some of you don't believe this. You can't take it. I want you to think about what he just said. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Well, do you know what that is? That's a quote from Psalms 32. It's not the first time God ever said that. David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Well, who is this blessed man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity? He's the man, next verse above it, whose sins have been imputed to Christ. Now, if you want to get happy this morning, how many sinned in the last 5 years? Raise your hand. Take the notes. How many sinned in the last 5 days? Raise your hand. Yeah. And if you don't recognize you sinned the last 5 days, you're so far from God, you don't even, it's crazy. Now, I want to ask something. It's easy for you to understand that your sins are imputed that you sinned before you got saved. But what about the sins after you got saved? Watch this. Blessed, that word means happy and doing well spiritually, is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sins. Now, who is this guy that the Lord will not impute sins? It's the man to whom his sins have been imputed to Christ. And Christ's righteousness has been imputed to him. And you, whether you believe this or not, you say, Reggie, do you sin as a preacher? I sure do. Way more often than I'd ever tell you. Okay? But I want to tell you right now, I'm a blessed man. And Jeremy, I'm going to tell you why. Because the Lord does not impute my sins to me. Amen. You say, what has he done? He wants daylights out of me. but my sins are not imputed to me. I reap what I sow. Did you know that when God saved you, all of your sins, past, present, and future, was imputed to Jesus Christ? And if it's not so, then, okay, all the ones you committed up to, you got saved. Watch this. Imputed, you got no problem with that. But now it's all up to your performance. Is that right? What happens to your sins? You listen to me. You better start believing your Bible. That's why some of you ain't happy. You're saved, but you don't understand it. You still think that it's your performance that's keeping you. And you'll never have a happy day until you realize that Christ bore all your sins upon the cross. You wasn't even born when he died. You wasn't born when he took them. But when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God imputed your sin to Christ. And it took Christ's righteousness, and he imputed that to you. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. Lord of mercy, I'll be honest with you, we don't even know what God did for us on the cross. We don't have a stinking clue. We're so self-righteous and so religious, we can't even grab hold of it. That's why he could give you eternal life, by the way, because it's imputed to him. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. There's only one person that's blessed. I'll tell you something. You'll have good cheer when you realize your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I'll show you another reason that God commanded us to. Does anybody have a clue? By the way, this is wilder than March hare. Those sins forgiven, that's talking about past. The second one's going to be about your present. And the third good cheer is going to be about your future. God's got good cheer for you, past, present, and future. Got the whole thing taken care of. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 27. Oh, this is good. Amen. So you say, Reggie, what you talking about? Now, I realize that I irritate some of you, and people say, well, I don't like his personality. He's too rough on their sides. I agree with you, totally agree with you. I don't know why God ever called me to preach anyway, but I'm glad he did, and I'm going to tell you something. I just am who I am, so I hope you'll look past me and look to Christ, amen? Don't let me block you out from the Lord. But I'm going to tell you right now, here's one happy man of good cheer because my sins are forgiven. You ask me why I'm happy? Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Amen. We ought to sing, we ought to be glad that our sins are gone. If you didn't got nothing else, I'm telling you, in the midst of your adversity, I wish I could fix all your folks' problems. I can't do it. I wish I could bring the wife back to the two men that have called me the last 2 weeks and said, Reggie, my wife's left me. I wish I could fix the situation where a gal run off with her 5-year-old son and she's showering with her shack up with her 5-year-old son in the shower. And the daddy of that 5-year-old wanted to kill everybody in sight. I wished I could fix everything. But I can't. But I tell you what I can tell you. Is that in the midst of life's worst pressures, problems, trials, and troubles, we can have good cheer. Because someday God's going to set this thing right. Someday justice will come. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 27. You find here Christ saying, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. This is, first, be of good cheer because your sins are forgiven. Second, be of good cheer because Jesus is here. He's here. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never going to be nothing you're going to go through but what he'll be with you. Can I tell you something? If Jesus Christ went into the furnace and through the furnace with the three Hebrew children, he's going to be with you at the inner furnace experiences. If Jesus was with Daniel in the lion's den, he's going to be with you in your deals. You know something? I didn't come to church to... this isn't a pep session. I want you to leave this church today with something real down in your heart and soul. Say, well, you know, life may be tough, but my sins are forgiven, and the Lord has never left me. So this world could just do with it what he wants to, but I'm going to be of good cheer. I hurt sometimes, all the stuff I hear and get hit with. And, you know, it hurts. You want to fix people's problems, and you can't. But I tell you what we can have is good cheer in the midst of it. And I've been asking God, Lord, help me not to blaspheme your holy name by griping and groaning when things are rough and when things aren't going like I want them to. Lord, those people up at that church don't need a pastor who's all down and out and troubled about this, that, and the other. And can I tell you something? You may look up here and think of me, well, he doesn't have any problems. He's got it made, blah, 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 blah. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm just being honest with you. You don't have a clue. But I'm not. I'm just telling you. Nothing hit me but such as common to man. And God has made a way every time. And I'm just telling you here today, I've asked God, Lord, forgive me. Lord, when I get up Monday morning, Karen doesn't need a husband who's in a gripey mood. My children don't need a daddy who's always down in the mouth. This church does not need a pastor who only sees the dismal side of life. We need to be a good cheer. And by the way, Jesus didn't say this is a suggestion. He said, I'm commanding you. He said, that's a command. Be of good cheer. Number one, you can be of good cheer if your sins are forgiven. Let me just tell you right now, if you're here or listening online, and by the way, those online, we're so grateful that you're listening. But if you're listening and you're not saved, please let God save you and forgive you of your sins. I've never seen anybody really get saved that didn't have a little good cheer in them, amen? I'll tell you something about that will put some happiness in your heart. I was thinking this past couple weeks ago, I read a story, it broke my heart. How many's ever heard the song, When You Say Nothing at All? Come on. How many's heard the song? When you say nothing at all. How many's heard the song? Raise your hand. I don't want to see how many of you will lie. All right. If you've been to a wedding, you've heard the song. Okay. You know what's so sad? There's a phrase in that you'll catch me when I fall. I hate to tell you this. That song's one of the biggest jokes that's ever written. Now, you know what happened to the man that made that song famous? 34-year-old in the morning time. They pulled his dead body out of his house with 10 times the amount of alcohol in it, legal way, and killed him. He literally drunk himself to death, singing, when you say nothing at all. Top charts, number one songs, everybody adulation. And he had everything this world could shovel out on the plate to you, but he didn't have good cheer. And I read that and I thought, Lord, I can't believe it. Now, I know some of you think that Alison Krauss, the only one. No, this is before Alison. She's not the person that made that song famous. Keith Whitley. And that grieves me. And I hate it. Troubled guy. But I thought to myself, you'll catch me when I fall? Where was she or them or those people to catch him when he fell? They weren't there. And can I tell you something? If you don't have Jesus with you when you fall, there'll be nobody to catch you. Your wife can't catch you. Your husband can't catch you. The preacher can't catch you. Only Jesus can be there the whole time. And he's the only one that can cross into eternity with you. Amen. The context of this passage of scripture, the disciples are in a storm. I love this. Titled my book after it. Jesus comes walking across what was giving them fits. There's such a truth here. That storm was raging and they thought they was going to sink and Jesus walking on top of it. I mean, I'll tell you something. He walks on top of your troubles. He's above and more powerful than all your problems. And here's what really jump makes my feet jump. He said, hey, Peter, come on out here. You can walk on top of your troubles too. Everybody says, well, he looked and sank. Well, he still holds world's record. Bozo, do you have enough? Have you got enough to get out of the boat? I like old Peter, amen? Amen. Jesus told me I could walk on water. Let's do it, amen. Now, that wasn't imagination. Jesus said, come. And old Peter got out there. And I want to tell you something. You know, he looked away. And yeah, he said, but you know, who caught him? Who caught him? Jesus. Let me tell you who's the only person really catch you when you're down, when you're sinking. And that's Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. When he catches and when he holds you, you're held. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, he'll make you to be able to walk on top of your troubles. He'll make you to be able to walk on top of your trials. He'll make you to be able to walk on top of your storms. I am telling you, there's a reason to be of good cheer because I've been at this thing now, whatever it's been since 19, I lost count. Somebody says, I'm glad I've heard it too many times. I'm telling you right now, you know what? That, you know what my walk on water verse is? Fear not, for I'm with thee. I'm like, if he's with, if the great I am's with me, what I need to be worried about? Fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. What's that mean? Be of good cheer, Reggie. You don't have to be down. Be not dismayed, for I am the great I am, thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand. That's that walking on the water passage. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God's trying to tell you, you can be of good cheer today and go back out to your pickup truck and say, I tell you what, I don't know how I'm going to make the payment next Thursday, but bless God, I've got Jesus with me and it's going to be all right and they can't eat me. Amen. We'll sit in here and act like we ain't got troubles. If you ain't got any troubles, then pray for the rest of us, amen. I want to get you number three and get you out of here. I want to be a good Presbyterian and Episcopalian and get you out on time. That's supposed to bring you a little good cheer, but you're not in the cheering mood today, I can tell that. John 16. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Now, the setting here, Jesus Christ had a little church service, had a little prayer meeting with the disciples. And he said, boys, I'm going to tell you something. He said, they're going to arrest me here in a few days. He said, they're going to crucify me. They're going to put me in the grave. But 3 days later, I'm coming up from the grave. But fellas, it's going to be adios, and it ain't going to be good. It ain't going to be a good deal for a while. And it got them disciples kind of shook up. They'd put their whole trust and faith in him, and now he's going to be killed. Peter said, oh, far be it from me, Lord. And they was worried about the future. Now, the first one that we dealt with this morning was your past, okay? Forgiveness of your sins. That's taken care of. The second be of good cheer is I'm with you. I'll take you through the storms. It'll be all right. You can be of good cheer. The third one is future victory. You can be of good cheer today, and you're commanded to be of good cheer because the future is in the hands of God. Can I give you some good news? It's not in the hands of Bernie Sanders. Say amen right there. Amen. Bernie! How could America produce such dodos? And AOC and ABC and DFG and all the other dodos. I never heard such reprobations, goofy, idiotic, stupid stuff. My dog's got more sense than that whole 20-some Democrat. My dog, literally, got more sense than the all 20-some Democrat on the other night of the platform. They care more about illegals than they do about our veterans. That's reprobate. They're more concerned about a spotted owl than they are a baby in a womb. I mean, that's reprobate. They're crazy. We need to just start telling them. We need to build an insane asylum for Democrats before we build a wall for the. Amen. You think I care? I don't care one bit. You say, you sitting there saying, I ain't never coming back to this church. Adios. I'm sorry. I ain't putting up this nonsense. You think I'm going to be politically correct and make you happy? You're crazy. Amen. You don't have to come and eat dinner with me. I'm just telling you, this country is crazy. It's time to speak the truth and quit donking around. Amen. I mean, just nuts. But I want to tell you something. Look what he told his disciples in verse 33. They're all upset. He said, these things have I spoken unto you. Now watch this verse. Watch it real close now. Don't miss it. You're going to tinker around and you're going to miss it. In me, you might have peace. Not in a bunch of money. Not in a nice home. Not in a good job. Not even in a good church. But in him. You have peace. How many knows you ain't going to have peace in Reggie? No peace. No. Can I tell you something? Yeah, you know, I get all of this, that, and the other, but I'm going to be honest with you, there's joy in my soul. I'm just so happy I'm saved and forgiven. I'm so happy I have a Bible that I know the Word of God. So happy that I know anyway. And he said, in the world, now watch this, folks. He's talking to his people here. He said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. Without question, you're going to have tribulation. Ty, can I aggravate you just a little bit? Bless your heart. That boy went through one of the toughest things I ever seen a young boy go through. You remember the day I come seeing you the next day? Do you remember that at all? I doubt it. I'm going to tell you why I doubt it. Because you was in a daze. I drove up here to his house and I'm out there and I'm going to tell you, that boy had been knocked six ways of Sunday Lulu. And I, you know, and not everybody feels sorry about the whole thing. But I'm going to tell you, for months this went on. He didn't know what in the world was going to happen to his life. And I've thought about you this week when I do this message. Lord, how does somebody, not just Ty, but any of us, in the midst of our storms and troubles that we have, how can we be of good cheer? Number one, Ty, remember that our sins are forgiven, regardless of what happens. Number two, remember he's always with us, and he'll be with us in the storms, and he'll help us to walk on top of our troubles. But number three, he said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So mark it down in your day book. Everybody from that wall to that wall, from that wall to that wall, you are going to have tribulation in this world. It is not going to be a Sunday school picnic. Amen. But what's it say? What's your Bible say? Be of good cheer. Why? He's overcome the world. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I like to win. And I like to think about the Lord taking us out of here and getting a new glorified body. I like to think about being at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I like to think about when the Lord walks out and says, folks, get on your horses. I'm telling you something. He said, I have overcome the world. He said, you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. It's not about me overcoming nothing. It's about him overcoming the world and me being in Christ. And I'm an overcomer because I'm in Christ. And I just want to encourage all day. That's my message. And I promise you, I'm going to close out with this. I'm going to tell you some other reasons real fast that I have reason to be of good cheer. Number one, I'm a child of God. Not because I'm righteous, not because I'm good, because I was a sinner headed to hell. God had mercy on me and took me into himself. I just said what I said about Ty a while ago because I want to tell you, Ty, you're a good example of God seeing you through the storm. Okay? I love you, buddy. I could point out a lot of other people's been through a lot of storms in this church. It's just seemed like the Lord brought that storm to my mind. I remember thinking, God, what would I do? Help that boy. Sustain him through these days, through these weeks and months. God been good to you, Ty. Give you a good wife and a beautiful family and work to do. But Ty, probably the storms ain't over. Every once in a while, over the southwest, a storm cloud brews up. But I'm a child of God. If I ain't got anything else, Brother Phil, I'm a child of God. I'm telling you, literally, I'm a child of God. And I'm going to be of good cheer because he's my heavenly Father. I'm going to be of good cheer because he made me a home in heaven. And Jesus said, I'll go away and prepare a place for you. That ought to make anybody. How many would be happy if somebody found out they was building you a new home and going to ask you to it pretty soon? Anybody be happy about that? We ought to be happy about an eternal home, amen? I'm a good cheer because he gave me eternal life. I'm not worried about not doing good enough. I was saved by his grace. I'm kept by his grace. I'm kept by his power. If faith in Jesus Christ, substitutionary death, blood, his resurrection don't save me, I have no hope anyway. And I trust him. I'm happy. I got it. You say, well, I don't know if you got eternal life or not. I do. Bible said I do. And that gives me good cheer, especially when I mess up every week. I'm going to have a new body one of these days. That gives me good cheer. Going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That gives me good cheer. I'm an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. That gives me good cheer. I'm going to rule and reign with him. That gives me good cheer. Satan's going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever. That makes me real happy. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose, so I can be of good cheer about everything. I'm of good cheer because I know the truth. I'm of good cheer because I'm reconciled to God. I'm of good cheer because I'm regenerated. I'm of good cheer because of his sanctification. I'm of good cheer because I serve a holy God, a righteous God, a merciful God, a gracious God, an immutable God that never changes, and that makes me happy. I've got the God of the world, I've got the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. And I'm happy because he's coming back again. And as I said a while ago, I'm very happy and I'm cheerful because I ain't going to hell. When the worst day comes, just think about this. At least I ain't going to hell. You know what? I believe you can have good cheer when you're dying. I believe you can. I believe you can have good cheer when you're sick. I believe you can have good cheer and be a medicine to your heart and to your soul. The Bible said, watch this. Now listen to me. You'll go pay somebody $150, $200, $300 bucks to tell you this in an office, and I'm going to tell you free. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. Watch this. But sorrow of the heart, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. God wants you to be of good cheer. He didn't say as a suggestion. He commanded you to be of good cheer. Are you sitting there today and thinking, what have I to be of good cheer about? I hope these little things will help you on that. Oh, last thing, promise. When folks come into this church, what will affect them for God? Somebody says, oh, the preaching. Maybe. Maybe the teaching, maybe. How about the singing? Maybe. If it's done with cheer. But I'm going to tell you one thing that'll affect nobody can get loose from that walks on this property. If we have good cheer in the midst of this generation and in the midst of all the garbage going on in this country, they're going to say those folks got something. And I'm going to tell you about the thief. He's out to steal your cheer. Because when people see you going through tribulation and you're a good cheer, they're going to be just like they was with the Apostle Paul. They're going to say, we want what you got, buddy. And it don't cost you anything. It's the Lord's. So I love you. I'm done. If you're here and you're not saved, man alive, don't you leave this building. Don't you go home. You ought to get saved. You get saved right in your seat. Right? And we're going to go down the creek here. And I'm in my brand new red four-door Chevy pickup out here. They come out now with these rust spots down there. Brand new, boy. Me and that old truck's going to probably die about the same time. No, I don't know. I'll be in that red truck. You want to follow us, you can. Brother Austin's going to get baptized. I hope you'll come and encourage him in the Lord. Again, you go right up the highway here to the top, go down the holler, up the top, first right, and then turn immediately right. It'll go down, take a sharp left, cross the railroad tracks, and then come to that T, and you're there. Did I get it right? I didn't get it right.